We're looking at ministry on the go, what it looks like. The fact that Dennis Clark, he did three things. He took an interest in me, he took time, and he spent money. And these were the three very specific things that he did, and I kind of want to delve into that. And we'll get back to this at the end. The first thing we're going to talk about is time, specifically. And we all have 24 hours in a day. We've either heard or said these couple of phrases. I'm burning the candle at both ends. I'm going to have to teach my children what that one means. Or we say that there's not enough time in the day. One of the things that I was convicted about fairly recently was standing at the coffee machine at the office. What tends to happen, and I don't know if you've experienced this, but people on Monday morning, they're going to ask you, how was your weekend? What was it good? And I always say, I always have to think for a moment, because when I go to work, I kind of erase the weekend. I'm kind of focused on work. But they want to talk about the things that they did specifically. And then they're going to recap all these things, this busyness. You know, and here I am, I'm always trying to find a way to rest, you know, either take a day or spend that time with my family. And I'm competing with these thoughts and these ideas of the world. One time I said that bottom one. I said, well, it just doesn't seem like there's enough time in the day. And I felt convicted about it. Because when I say that there's not enough time, I'm indicting the person that created that. I'm saying basically, if I were to design it, and if I were going to hold back, I would have extended it 25, 26 hours. What you made wasn't perfect. And so, rather than just be convicted myself, I decided to invite that person into my conviction. And so I said, no, I take that back. And I said, what? They didn't realize I was going to go deep on them. But I said, I know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know that when he created this and he set the sun in its place, he had a perfect plan on this. And there is enough time in the day. I have to understand that I'm choosing whether or not I'm going to take that time or not. So I kind of wiped that phrase from my vocabulary. I didn't want to say anymore that there's not enough time, because to me, that's an indictment on my creator, and it's not right. If you do that, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, convict you just then, but that was, you know, my true conviction. I had the opportunity to explain and throw in 3, 4, and 5 and just say, God said, let there be light. That's what he spoke. He said that. And there was. God saw the light was good. So God separated the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning, marking that first day. You know, they walked away going, I'm sure that was weird. That was strange. That wasn't what I was expecting. But I had that, you know, I had that moment. I was able to kind of redeem that. At least they have, you know, I'm thinking about these things, and I don't want to just let my words go out there and just be thrown about. I know that when he created these things, they're perfect. They're absolutely perfect. What we do is that we set aside time all the time, and we set it aside to do the things that we want to do. I recently, actually the guy that I serve with, the head pastor, he said that he was reading this book, and in the book, a question was posed. And he said that you're in the middle of New York, heavy traffic, and you've got to get to a tower that's only about 5 miles away, but you're not moving. So you've got 5 miles, and if you can be there in 1 hour at the top of that skyscraper, you will receive $1 million. You know, it's legitimate. Okay, so we're taking away any of the other, you know, avenues of it's a joke or a prank or anything like that. You know, it's real. Could you, in this room, does anybody think that they could do that? We got a get her done attitude. Or I'm going to find a way. You know, you can walk or run. You know, 5 miles isn't too bad. Call in a helicopter. Promise them a cut. I mean, there's all sorts of things, because if we want to have it done, we're going to do it. We're going to make that time to do what it is that we want to do. So because we set aside this time, not because we don't have enough time or I don't have time. I'm scratching that one. That's a lot harder, by the way, to say I don't have time. It's I'm not going to take the time to do that. And that's a little bit more honest. We set aside this time to do whatever it is that we want to do. This is from 2014. And as you're looking at some of these numbers, there are going to be a few that stand out. What I do when I look at this is I start immediately comparing myself. I start wondering, where do I fit into this? So immediately, I see that the 7.8, the highest one on there, is working. And I go, huh, I work more than not even 8 hours, really. This is the average. They don't even put it in a full 8 hours. I guess this is everybody, right? So these are my thoughts. And so I start to think to myself, care for children. Seems like I put in more than an hour. Is this 24? So then I start questioning these things. Again, it's an average of all the people, I think it's ages 25 to 50, who are married with children. That's also a little caveat of the time being spent. But this is what it looks like. I was surprised to see that the 23% was leisure. Then I thought to myself, 5.6 hours seemed a bit high, but it depends on what I'm also counting as leisure. So this is just to kind of convey what an average day looks like for a work person married with kids.
Do you know, is it only the work week or is it the full week?
It's the work week. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. These are some things that we put into our leisure time. I've included all and then some fake sports in there as well. Huh? It's up to interpretation on which picture was a fake sport. This is just a series of television shows. Some people like to watch TV. That's how they like to relax. For those of you not familiar, this is gaming. So there's different gamers that are represented here, whether it's console or PC type gaming. Social activity, you know, with the apps nowadays that we have, some people find themselves on that phone a lot more than they thought they would be, looking, glancing down. You know, maybe some of those you recognize. The one in the middle is probably the biggest. It's got the most users, and a lot of people know that. Maybe you sat here and thought, none of that stuff. But then we'll throw in one more that we do leisurely as well. Dennis, for instance, is a hunter, an avid hunter. And he asked me, he's like, so what do you prefer to hunt? I said, I kind of like technology. I don't really get out to the deer wood, I think is what you call it. He's like, yeah. I said, I don't really do a lot of hunting. He's like, oh. So we were trying to find ways to, you know, to hang out, to live life on life. And so I started recognizing there are lots of different things that we do for leisure activity. This verse that had been talked about just before we got in here, therefore be very careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. For this reason, do not be foolish, but be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. It's Ephesians 5:15 through 17.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, Ephesians 15.
That's amplified.
Yes, yeah, very, very amplified. Good call. Yeah, actually, that's NET and wrong verse there. But yes, yeah, to be very careful how we live. That's been a desire of my heart the more that I go through this life. I told my wife just before I came here, I said, you know, I want to make the most of every opportunity. I've not dedicated this one to memory, but I'm working on that. Reason being is because I don't want to waste my life. And I want to know that I'm every set of time, every time that I'm setting aside, rather, I'm either doing it for myself, I'm doing it to advance the kingdom, or I'm doing it to take care of somebody. Those are really my options. I want to make sure that I am doing that. This guy, this is obviously an artist's rendition. Can anyone tell me the story? I'll give you a little bit of the background. This kid here fell out of a window. He was picked up as though dead. Does anyone know his name?
A boring preacher.
From a boring preacher? Yeah, very possible. You will get a bonus point. Eutychus, that's correct. The little guy's name is Eutychus. The story comes from Acts. It says, a young man named Eutychus who was sitting in the window, he was sinking into a deep sleep while Paul continued to speak for a long time. Fast asleep, he fell down from the third story and he was picked up dead. But Paul went down, he threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him and said, do not be distressed, for he's still alive. And then Paul went back upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he walked with them a long time, until dawn, and then he left. So a few things to notice from this story is, A, he was taking the time to meet with these individuals, and he was teaching for a long time, so much so that a kid's going to fall asleep and fall out of a window. The other thing is that he wasn't going to let something like death stand in his way, because that would have put a downer on his teachings and everything else they were doing. He revives them, they eat, they continue this conversation, they continue talking, and then he leaves at dawn. You know, he was trying to make the most of every opportunity. And so I feel like any way that I can do that, I'm going to be serving God more and more. So I start to be, you know, convicted on the things that take my leisure time if they're not being what I would call redeemed, if I'm not redeeming that time. The other thing, remember that Dennis did, he spent time on me, also spent money on me. We would grab something to eat and he would always pick up my tab. And I was like, man, it's really nice and it's really kind that you're doing this. But I can pay my own way. And he said, no, I got this. And that was something that he wanted to do specifically. We all know that money is the root of evil, right? Except David. He knows the truth.
Love.
Right. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And some people, in reaching for it, have strayed from the faith, and they've stabbed themselves with many pains. That's 1 Timothy. We also know that no one can serve two masters. He's either going to hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. We know that we can't serve God and money. The Gospel of Luke has a really interesting story. And so if you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Luke. And we're going to read this story because it's one that's, well, it's one of those that I've asked for help on a couple of times. Because I read it and I go, what is this saying? What am I supposed to be getting out of this? So if you turn to Luke 16, or rather tap to Luke 16, if you're, I think is that the proper term, turn or tap to Luke 16. And I'll be reading out of the NET version. It's my favorite. And you can follow along in your better version. Luke 16, verse 1, it says, Jesus also said to the disciples that there was a rich man who was informed of accusations that his manager was wasting his assets. So he called the manager in, and he said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your administration, because you can no longer be my manager. Well, then the manager said to himself, what should I do? Since my master is taking my position away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig, too ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what to do so that when I am put out of management, people will welcome me into their homes. So he contacted his master's debtors one by one. He asked the first, hey, how much do you owe my master? And the man replied, 100 measures of olive oil. The manager said to him, well, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he went to another. How much do you owe? The second man replied, 100 measures of wheat. The manager said to him, take your bill and write down 80. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Jesus continues then. He says, the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their contemporaries than the people of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by how you use worldly wealth so that when it runs out, you'll be welcomed into eternal homes. When I first read that, I thought, this shrewdness has been called, when anyone's around me, it's called chicanery, to kind of demonstrate this. My wife didn't quite get it. My eldest daughter, she is just like me, only she's a girl and she's little. But her personality is just like mine. And she was walking in the hallway, and my wife said, hey, did you brush your teeth? And she turned, she goes, yes. She walked on, I stopped her. I said, hey, did you brush your teeth tonight? She says, no. I said, go brush your teeth. And I went over to my wife and I said, hey, you realize she didn't brush her teeth like you were thinking. She said, what do you mean? She just said she did. I said, you didn't ask her if she did it tonight. She goes, she knows what's being implied. I said, yeah, but she answered you truthfully. She did. And if you had specified this morning, she would have said yes. If you specified tonight, she told you the truth, it would be no. She goes, what? That's your kid. I said, it is. That is exactly right. Well, that type of shrewdness, this, okay, how can I make this work? You know, it's very similar to what Jacob did. He'd say, okay, let's divide up the family. You go over here, you go send across this river. If we get split up, it's all this, you know, kind of working together type thing. What's commended? And I thought, how is this commended? How can this be a good thing? Because to me, it seems like it's dishonest. I mean, that's what your text says, right? It's the dishonest manager. You know, it's this person that's responsible, but yet he's going to make it better for himself. Well, in the end, it seems like he's suggesting to spend your money to make friends, people that are going to help you. And then you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. In other words, it's let loose of your finances in order to help other people and use that money. And in doing so, you're going to build up this relationship. You know, he says, hey, I'm going to be welcomed into their homes. I'm going to be with them. They're going to be putting me on their couch. It's the same reason that Jesus said to Zacchaeus, what? Did he ask for an invitation?
Going to your house today.
I'm going to your house. He didn't say, why don't you invite me? He invited himself. So one of the things that I learned on this spending money, I felt as though I was indebted to Dennis because he was paying for my stuff. He could ask for any favor and I would say, yeah, okay. And so he said that he's learned along the ways to ask people to help him as opposed to him saying, hey, can I help you? You would think that the Christian thing would be, maybe I can help my services. But he says, no, ask for it. Ask for the help. And you're going to get the same thing in return. Most people want to help. Well, if you've spent time and money on them, they definitely are. It's just kind of in us, and it's a very shrewd way of doing it. And so when I started meeting with guys, I did the same thing. I said, "Hey, I got your breakfast." Like, "Oh, okay." And it was very easy for me to say, "Hey, I'm going to be moving this weekend. I'm going to be helping somebody else move this weekend. What do you got going on?" Well, they don't know the process of, "Well, he's bought my food several times. We've visited this and that." They just know, "Hey, yeah, I'm going to help him." Anyways, this chapter in Luke, I thought, "Man, that's a different way of doing things." But at the same time, I can spend time and money and then build on that relationship and redeem it. Yeah, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their contemporaries than the people of light, which, by the way, would be us. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by how you use worldly wealth, so that when it runs out, you'll be welcomed into eternal homes. And we all know that it runs out whether we spend it or we die. We're not taking it to our graves, so we might as well use it up. I found this equation worked really well. Time plus money equals love. That's how it's shown. If I'm going to spend my time on you or my money on you, I've got to love you. And it's got to be legit. Otherwise, you know what? I'm not going to spend my time or my money because I'm going to do it with the things that I love. That's how it works out. That's why the equation seems to work. 1 Thessalonians 2, the latter part of 7 and verse 8 says, "Like a nursing mother caring for her own children with such affection for you, we were happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us." One of the things that I found in work, in play, is that I'm trying to also build on relationships. A lot of times I'm looking for an opportunity in which maybe we can do something together. I'm looking for maybe a connection point. I want these people to become dear to me. What I find out is that if I spend money on somebody, they automatically become more dear to me. I've just found that out. It's why we don't mind giving our kids lavish gifts on Christmas or their birthdays. We want to do that. Well, I find the opposite is also true. When I spend money on that person, I begin to develop a relationship for them. I don't mind it at all. So if I have a relationship, I don't mind spending the money. If I spend the money, the relationship comes about. I've seen those two things at work. 2 Corinthians 12:15 says, "Now I will most gladly spend and be spent for your lives. I love you more. Am I to be loved less?" Again, the idea is spending. So I know there are lots of teachings out there on how to get out of debt, how to not spend, and yet we know that our Savior had nothing, and that he was spent for us. And he told his disciples, "When you go out, don't take with you purse or satchel, nothing. Just go and be spent." The idea of building up disciples to me means a life change. At first I thought it'd be more along maybe the lines of mentorship. And I think that it starts out that way. I do. I think that I want to know more about scriptures. I want to know how it is that I can know Jesus better or develop my quiet time. And I want that. And those are all good things. But what slowly happens is you become something different, someone different. And that new creation when you started, it's kind of like was shared last night. When you're a new believer, you didn't have that, all the theology. You didn't have all, the books of the Bible memorized or any of those things. What you knew was that you were saved, that God forgave you of your sins, and it changed you. Well, as you start to learn about God, you start to get a better idea of who he is. And so you start to see what it is that he was doing. There was a thing in the 90s that you may have recalled, and I'm going to try and start bringing it back. I've already got it on order, my WWJD bracelet. And I wore that thing around with me all the time. When I was younger, I wore it around to try and help stop me from sinning. That was what I thought I was gonna do, was, okay, don't sin. There's a girl, look at the bracelet. Go down here and, it's nighttime and I might want to look at some dirty magazine or something on the internet, but I have the bracelet on. I try to use it like a shackle. What I found is that the relationship with Jesus that grows, it's not a shackle thing at all. It's complete freedom. You have power over it, complete power. But I'd like the idea of trying to think like what Jesus did, seeing that he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, that he was constantly going around meeting people and teaching people. I thought to myself, was that just for the gifted? Is that just for the teachers? I don't consider myself that. But when I had an opportunity, say, to come here, I said, well, you know what? I don't do this very often. This isn't my thing. I don't get paid to go places and speak anywhere. But if I have an opportunity to speak and teach, I should do that. And I would recommend that any and every believer do that. If you have an opportunity, whether you're making it for yourself or not, whether that's your main job. My job is not public speaking, obviously. This isn't anything that I do. But I've been gifted with the opportunity of knowing Jesus, and I want to tell the world about him. He was telling everybody about his Father and the kingdom. I would like to most, I'm not there yet, I would like to most gladly spend to be spent for your lives. In order to do that life on life, I have to rethink other things. I live out near the country. It's on the edge of town. People visiting me say I live out in the middle of nowhere, but I really don't. I don't live in a neighborhood. I live on a 1-acre piece of property that I don't take care of very well because I don't take the time to maintain it and take care of it. I have other things that I'm wanting to do, right? But I only have 2 neighbors. And I know my 2 neighbors, and they know who I am, and they know where I stand with Jesus. But what if I were to, say, move to a neighborhood? At that moment, I risk the lives of my children from gangs and violence and sexual predators and theft, kidnappings, right? Because in the country, I'm safe from all of those things. At least that's my old school mentality of thinking it. If I got away from these things, I can raise them the way that I want them to be. But then when I read that my Savior is going all the time and he's talking to people, he's engaging their lives, I think, why am I not doing that? So I then proposed the idea to my wife. I said, we should probably move into an apartment complex. We've already made the investment in our home. We've already said we're going to live here. We're going to raise our kids here. We're getting new countertops. We're living the American dream, really. But am I spending on other people? Am I ready to be spent on other people? Well, the answer was no. That wasn't what I was considering at all. By the way, that did not go over well. I don't want to leave you with any sort of fantasy that then we sold everything and now we live in an apartment. I'm still working on that, still praying about it. She mentioned the possibilities with the kids and stuff. And I said, yeah, I realize there's risk. There's risk everywhere. But there's a greater risk at other people not knowing Jesus. And so I don't want to waste my life, my time or my money. And I want to make sure that I'm doing it to advance the kingdom at all costs. Well, yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's the thing is we can live free or we can live safe. And, we've seen it in America as far as we're trying to protect ourselves and getting on planes and stuff is a lot more difficult, but we're a lot safer. But we've lost some freedoms in that. Well, the same thing I think can happen with our freedom in Christ. We can use that to advance his kingdom, and it's dangerous work. It is. Anybody ever heard that the safest place is in God's will, right in the middle? The center of God's will. I think his disciples were there, and they were all martyred for their faith. I don't know how safe it is, the center of his will.
Where's the least safe place for an American to be?
The least safe? Oh, what were that?
Their mother's womb.
Oh, that hurts. That is true. It shouldn't be like that, should it? It shouldn't. It's a little off topic, but the thing is that when talking with a friend, we asked about the issue of abortion, since you bring it up. And I said, it seems to me that the church, and it's an indictment on me, myself, we've really failed in that area. Instead of the ostracizing or whatnot, we should be coming alongside. It's not the baby's fault, whatever the sin may be or whatever happened, but it's not the safest place, and it should very well be. Well, I wanted to give some more practical examples of what this might look like, because it's not just a theory, right? We want to walk away with some sort of application. I've got a couple here. I do like technology, okay? And so I'm always trying to find a way, because it's kind of a hobby of mine, to integrate technology with ministry and how to reach out. I want to make a couple of notes here. One, this is a company, I'm not a spokesperson for Wix, W-I-X, but they allow you to make free websites. So if it's any sort of intimidation, I can understand that, but they allow it to be free use. I went ahead and paid for a domain because I didn't want it to be wix.com/jdunk2.whatever. I wanted to be able to point people to it easily. So what I did was got online, and I've got these cards. All it is it's the website, right? Allofallen.com. Very simple site. I spent way more time trying to figure out what I wanted to do versus actually doing it. And then on the back of it, I've got a hashtag that my church uses for any sort of social media communication that we use. What I found is that I have a difficult time continuing the conversation that I have with a waiter or wait staff or cashier or something. I can't, somebody else is there, this person's running off, and I don't have that time. Some would maybe take an opportunity to pray. Hey, can I pray for you? It can also be received not well. Like, do I look like I need prayer? I was like, it can be a turnoff to, you know, to the gospel. But if I can hand them a card, I say, hey, why don't you check this out? I'll buy you coffee. Right. Okay. What is this? Like, it's a free coffee card, if you will. Just go to that site and then click on contact and you'll see a picture of me. Pick a coffee shop and we'll meet up. We can talk. So I wanted the ability to hand somebody something to continue on because they're going to continue on. Especially when you meet people in work, in a working relationship. So if you work with other different people, it's the same thing you can do. Just one example. And I came up with this because me and some friends were brainstorming. And I said, this is the problem I have. And I wish I could say this has been completely successful throughout the rest of the year. If it doesn't work, I can come back next year and tell you, hey, by the way, that was a flop. If it doesn't work, I shelve it. And I say, okay, it's a shelf of shame, as Neil Cole calls it, and you're done with it. But the most recent, I was in Walmart and I was buying some milk and some coffee. I do like coffee. We can talk about coffee later if you like coffee. But I stand in line and I put it up on the conveyor there and I walk over and I look and I see this necklace and I recognize it as Pagan immediately. And I'm like, that's a Pagan necklace. What is that? And so I said, what are you searching for? And I was like, what am I what? And I said, what are you searching for? You got that necklace. He goes, oh, I'm not searching for anything. This is a circle of protection. Lots of bad things out there. And I said, that's true. I said, do you realize I fear nothing? He's like, really? I was like, not even death. So I pulled out a card and I said, if you want to talk about it more, he's like, yeah. He goes, I can't talk about it here. And I said, I completely understand. And I gave him a card. And you know what that guy did? Nothing. I haven't heard back from him. So I'm going to continue to pray for him. That's why I said it may be a complete flop. But he was definitely interested in just that idea. And so I'm hoping to find more people that I run into. I can say, hey, here's just a way to connect. Because our lives are passing each other all the time. And I wanted to be able, a track, if I can't walk somebody through a track, it may not be the best thing at that time. So anyways, this is just an example of some technology that I've used and also throwing out some things that it is free. There are a couple different websites that'll print off business cards, like VistaPrint or whatever. Hey, we'll give you 100 free, you know, to suck you in. Basically it was like, haha, all I need is 100. And you can go on. And it's, like I said, little investment, but there's some time. Again, spend and be spent, right? Let's see another example. This is actually the contact section. I rooked some other people into doing this too. I ended up going ahead and instead of just getting 100 cards, I think I got like a 500 of them. So this is the guy I served with. His name is Nathan. I put my wife on here and then his daughter Christina, and I gave them the cards too. I said that's why they don't have my name or anything on it. And I said just go here to contact. Just remember my face. Click on my head. And then we can do coffee. He also likes coffee. You see that picture of him holding coffee. And so that helps. That's kind of our angle is saying, hey, I'm going to buy this for you to hear your story and get to talk to you more. So you were given a card or perhaps found one. You can also leave them in places. That's also, it can be intriguing just to see one website and wonder what that is, you know. We live in the most connected world with social media, but everyone seems to be so lonely. We would love to visit with you and talk about the things most important in life. So that's just kind of the angle that we were going for there. I find that the things that we spend time on, and like I said, maybe you don't relate to any of these things, but the time that we spend the most is going to be, generally speaking, in these, work, leisure, at our homes. The idea is redeeming it. How can I redeem it? I redeemed my father's house when I was a little bit younger. He had a little apartment that was set off, and I found some people broken down on the side of the road. So I said, hey, well, do you need a place to stay? And they said, yeah, that'd be great. So I called Dad. I said, hey, I got some people coming over to your apartment. They're going to be living there for a little bit. He said, what are you talking about? So I also recommend you redeem other things, even if they're not yours. You can just start involving other people in those, and they get to enjoy those same blessings. And it was a really neat time and very helpful. Those people, I mean, they were stranded, much like I was in Oklahoma before getting here. But there are lots of helpful people, and so they helped us. And I can share that story later. I think that it's best to start thinking about the things that we spend money on, the things that we want to see. So I was just sharing that story earlier about how I'm an Apple fan, for instance, and I like technology. This, by the way, is not necessarily the latest phone. This computer is 4 years old. Yes, it's 4 years old. This watch is 3.5 years old. And I had a guy at my office come to me and he said, hey, I've got an Apple Watch for sale. And I told him, I was like, really? What are you asking for it? You know, these things generally go for, I think, like $325 is the starting price. And he said, $200. I thought, man, a savings of $125? Man. And I looked at this and I was like, it's not near as fancy. I can't touch it and have it do anything. And I thought, this sounds great. I thought, or I could save $200 and not buy it. And instead, take that $200, maybe spend it somewhere else. So these are some of the things that I would maybe dream about. Maybe you would dream about. Does anyone know how much this is, by the way? This gun?
$550, $530.
It's like $3,000. I tried to find one of the most expensive guns I could find to put on here because I don't hunt. But I thought, man, it's a really nice expensive gun. But yeah, whether it's vehicles or boats or some of these leisure things that we will put our money into. It's not that we don't. We're going to do that. If I can hold back and just spend it on kingdom things, I think things are going to change. They're going to change for the better. I want to redeem the money. It's time and money, but if I can redeem it, everything changes. It's not about me. It's now about somebody else, and it's about this mission. I've got this handout that I wanted everybody to kind of spend time on. And it's actually, as opposed to a handout like, hey, here's some information, take it and run with it, we're going to fill it out together. We're going to look at it, and we're going to be honest with ourselves. And it's very short. It's not very big at all. There's some of the questions that I've been asking, and I recommend that we ask ourselves. So I've got, you know, a couple of the verses that we're talking about, redeeming time and redeeming money. And I think that passage is right on this one. So that way you can just forget the misquote on the screen. You got the real one. And then what I want us to do is, first we're going to write down up to three things that you like to do. These are things that my dad would say, if you had your rathers, what would you rather be doing? You know, some people's bumper stickers tell you, they let you know, I'd rather be doing this than what I'm doing now. If you had those, what would it be? And you don't have to say reading my Bible more. You know, it doesn't have to be overly Jesus-y, but what is it that you would do? And I'm gonna fill this out myself. And some of you overachievers, don't jump onto those next questions yet. We're still on that first one.
Just three?
Yeah, if you want to write smaller, keep continuing, yeah. You have lots of, purposely didn't fill this out ahead of time, so it would be difficult standing up here thinking about them. All right, some of you that have written one down, throw one out. What would you be rather be doing?
Traveling.
Okay. Well, specifically with your wife. I don't want to leave her out. Okay. So traveling with your wife. What else?
Golf.
All right.
Play golf.
Golf. Okay.
Work on the farm.
Working on the farm. Do you not currently work on a farm? You do. You'd rather be doing what you do. Oh, that's neat.
Good job.
Yeah, that's a really good one. What else?
Work around the house.
Working around the house. I can relate to that. Got a lot of work to do around my house.
Spending time with family and friends.
Spending time, family and friends. I've got play video games. I don't play a lot as much as I would like. I'd rather be playing some video games. I know the speaker just said, that doesn't, what? What is this? Go ahead. What? Anything else? We got some more.
Travel.
Okay. Fly fishing.
Softball.
Softball.
Baseball, softball.
Yeah. So fast pitch softball or slow pitch?
Both. Baseball, softball. Restore my Cadillacs.
Restoring Cadillacs. Okay.
TV.
What about it? Oh, watching, viewing TV? Okay. It could be anything. Taking them apart or?
Coffee real early in the morning with your wife and grandson, loading magazines and talking.
Okay. Coffee, you said loading magazines?
Reading.
Looking at them, reading.
Oh, immediately thought bullets. Okay.
His thing was getting up real early, so that was
a treat. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Now, I want us to just brainstorm where we live. We're all, well, a couple of us live in the same area, but, you know, you live in your areas of the country. And the next question is, where would Jesus go in your town? Specifics. Where would he go? I mean.
What do you mean, where would he go? Go to the bathroom? Go to the what?
Where would he be found walking? How about that? Where would, you know, the crowds follow Jesus, and he would teach. Where would you see him in your towns? If you'd said, oh, there's Jesus. Or if someone said, hey, did you hear Jesus is coming? Really? And you would go to that place where you think that he would be. And he has a reputation to uphold. Don't forget that. All right, I'll start with this one. I'm pretty confident that he would be found on Dixon Street. If you're from where I live, that's infamous because we live in a college town and all of the bars are up and down that street. If you're a good person, you know to leave by 10. If you're a ruffian or a heathen, you get there at 10. So I have a feeling that he would be on that street after 10. How about you guys?
I live in a very small town, so it wouldn't take him long to walk anywhere. But the main street, the neighborhoods, and probably to the co-op to speak to the farmers.
Farmers Co-op. Okay. Excellent.
In Amarillo, Route 66, or the Boulevard, it's all very much like Dixon.
Is that right? The Boulevard is? And it's on Route 66. Okay. At night?
Basically.
Sounds like, okay, okay.
Bricktown.
Bricktown? What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it's called? The whole city's called Bricktown?
No, just that one area.
It's an area.
Canal
area.
Oh.
Yeah.
Restaurants, bar.
Okay.
Theater.
All right. But from the side.
South Dallas.
South Dallas,
yeah.
Specifically?
A lot of projects and kids just doing what they will.
Where in the South? In South Dallas? Like, where specifically?
That's a good question. It's more, I mean, it's just right outside of downtown. Trinity Groves area, Bishop's Arch. There's just this small little niche of folks. I mean, it's really dilapidated housing. Kids just don't have family running around to help them out. So you have, I mean, literally you have 2 or 3 year olds just running outside with no parents there. And so those 2 or 3 year olds grow up to be 16 year olds just doing whatever they want. So those young 16 year olds need mentors to walk around with them.
Yeah. All right. So you guys, everyone's been kind of silent over here.
There's an area downtown. It's kind of like next to. It's basically just a giant hill in the middle of town. I think that.
A hill?
Yeah. Jesus tends to like his hills and mountains. I think that's a great place because there's some really big middle schools and high schools across the street. I mean, I'm not too familiar with because I don't really live in that area. But that's where I would go to see him.
Okay, the hill. What area is this?
Downtown Houston.
Downtown Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So here we've got the very first top here is about redeeming our time, right? So we've heard a few things, whether it was restoring old cars, you know, fly fishing, going golfing, these things, taking someone along, especially somebody that doesn't know anything, that is an excellent way to redeem time. It's also, it will mess up your golf game and your fishing, and you may get a scratch on your car. You know, these things can also happen. I mean, you just need to know that. But which is great, because you get to spend more money with more rods or more paint or what have it. My friends have a saying, Lord, please help us from our help, because I can do things better myself, is what it is. But we want the help there, whether it's our kids or it's somebody that we have in our lives. So, you know, I've been trying to find a way, you know, like playing video games, for instance. I thought, man, how can I redeem it? I really like to do it, but a lot of times it would just be by myself. And I got convicted one time. Are there any gamers in here? One, maybe two. Team Fortress 2, ring a bell? Okay. Well, so I can talk to one person about this. You guys get to hear this conversation. In this game, it's just first-person shooter, so you're just trying to kill the other team. And I got really good at one particular guy. He was called a spy. He would disguise himself to look like the other team, and he just stabbed the other guy in the back, and that guy dies, like, immediately. And so I remember doing really well one round, and I ended up getting first. I was like, yeah. And there's no one around. I'm just by myself. I'm like, woohoo. I was like, man, that's really short-lived. You know, was it the excitement I was thinking? And then I thought, man, was that... Am I sinning just by playing a video game? Is that like a bad thing? And so I asked the Lord. And I'm not going to say that he spoke to me audibly, but he did speak to my heart. I can be a very sarcastic person. He is very sarcastic back to me. I'm not going to say this is everyone's experience because I get weird looks, but I'm telling you, he messes with me because he knows my personality. And so I asked God, I said, is this a sin that I'm playing this video game? You can interchange yours. Is this a sin that I'm playing this sport? Is this a sin that I'm just watching this TV? I think they're good questions to ask. And just like last night, which I don't think there's enough time for me to ask, you know, to search me and know me and throw out some things to me. I was still asking, and so I'm going to try and find a spot I can ask more later. But asking is great because you're going to get an answer. What I got back was this, Jason, what are you doing? It's like, I was expecting like, yes, it's a sin, stop it, or no, have fun. But I didn't get any one of those. I just got, what are you doing? And I said, playing a video game. He said, yeah, but what is it specifically that you're doing? Tell me in your own words what it is that you're doing. It's like, that's how you know it's not you, by the way. Whenever the Lord's speaking to you, you're like, that's a good question. I said, I am practicing hand-eye coordination in a box. And he's like, and what's the purpose? Like, with the purpose of practicing murder. Holy moly, this sounds bad. And do you know what the Lord said? Not even kidding. He goes, okay. So I uninstalled it. He just said okay. It was I didn't feel as though he was saying don't. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, right? All things are permissible, but I won't be mastered by anything. And I thought, practicing murder, you're right. I'm never going to go around stabbing somebody, you know, and when I cheered for myself, you know, there's nobody around. I thought, man, I want to be able to redeem this with somebody else. If I can have fun with somebody else and we can do it together, then it's something different. I've had a very difficult time doing that, by the way. This may end up getting scratched off of my rathers because I'm going, oh, unless I can find a way to redeem it, then it to me it just becomes a waste of time. And so I'm having to, you know, to stop that. And the next question, where would Jesus go in your town? So where does Jesus go? We've thrown out a few things, right? We know that he's going to go to some of those riskier places. He was known to visit prostitutes and those tax collectors, those people that are getting rich off of other people. I mean, he had this reputation. My next question, the follow-up question, I'm wearing sandals, so I'm going to step on my own toes, is that why am I not there? Why am I not in those same places talking and trying to reach out to those same people? When I see 2 or 3-year-olds just wandering the streets, why am I not there? If I'm light and there's a dark world, I should be. Maybe the time that I do spend doing my rathers should be stopped so that maybe I can be a light somewhere else. Well, with regards to money, we've got two more questions. This will take a little bit less time. How much money did you spend eating out this month? Remember, it has an extra day this year. It's not over yet. I don't like these questions. Why did I write these questions? All right, what are some numbers? And you can say beforehand, this is a guy I know, if it makes you feel better.
$15.
$15, okay.
I wrote too much.
Too much.
There's a budget, and that number did not get... It went over.
Went over, okay.
I think you add it up, you'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. $500-$600 a month. You get down to the end of the month. Easy.
Yeah. I've got at least, as I was just jotting through some things, my family, I'm going, okay, you know, there was the, hey, I'm not going to see you for 4 days. Let's eat before we go. I mean, those little things that we justify, and we're like, this is good. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's between you and God, you know, but we write that down, and that's a number that could be spent with other people as well. You could also have them join you, pay for their meals as well, and it's spending more. So I'm not even saying that you're spending too much. Maybe you're not spending enough. It can go either way. We're not stuck in some legalistic pattern well, Christians do this and non-Christians do this. It's just how I'm spending my money. And I know that pretty much everyone eats out. Again, whether it's a whole lot or not very much, it does happen. Final question is, how much money did you set aside to give each month? That you give. So some people set aside to give to their church, some people set aside to give to others, some people do both, and some people do none. So how much money the past month did you set aside to give? It'll be different for different people. Like, I'm going to be writing down, I'm pretty consistent with just 10% that I give to church specifically. And then I try to give probably around $50 depending on who it is. And so my wife and I are trying to come up with a what we call a giving account. So if I'm participating in the church building, the air conditioning, the heater, you know, the pads that are on the pews, what have you, I want to be able to give to that and to the person that's doing the preaching. But I also know that when Christ says to share in one another's burdens, that means if their electricity is going out, my electricity is going out. I mean, that's how you share a burden. If your transmission goes out, mine's out too. How do we get it going? That's sharing in a burden. So I'm writing down mostly 10%, but again, we're looking to do more in that regard. This sheet is yours. That's kind of your takeaway. I've left a few things on this sheet for you as well. In the bottom left, there's a QR code. I can help you out with that if you don't know what a QR code is. But if you have a little scanner, it'll take you right to a site. And this G2 is a growth group site. It really, I think what it is it's CMA and Navigator kind of combined piece of material that me and the people that I disciple with, we use. What we found is that we call it a growth group. I mean, you can name it whatever you want, but we ask 7 questions. Number 5 is the one in yellow there to the right. And it just simply asks us this. Have you faithfully invested your money, time, and abilities into the advancement of God's kingdom? And we ask each, you know, if you meet once a week, this is just, again, question 5 that comes up. Every week we're asking ourselves, have you done this? Number 3, I always give a dun, dun, dun type thing because it says, have you violated your conscience in any way? Keeping short accounts means that we don't fall deeper into sin. You know, so it's a type of accountability, but it keeps us accountable to our relationship with one another, to God, and then to the mission that we're to be out to advance the kingdom. So I get that's completely free. It's a link that you can use with 2 or 3 people. Yeah, I've got the little link to All of Fallen if you just need a template or want to try something like that. Again, I try to give away anything that I can, whether it be my knowledge or resources. And I'm loosening the grip on my resources. It's a tough thing to do for sure. But anyways, kind of want to end with just asking everyone, myself included, that just like at the very beginning, when I noticed specifically that this guy was taking an interest in me, and by doing so, he spent time and money on me, can I do that in my neighborhood with the people that I know, the places that Jesus would go specifically? Because the thing about ministry on the go specifically is that there is the exact same amount of time in the day, depending on what I decide to take and to use, is up to me. I'm going to spend that time. I'm going to set it aside to do whatever it is that I want to do. And I want to be about serving God and reaching His kingdom. That's all I got, unless you guys have any questions. Sure.
Whenever a class like this is taught or something to do with time or money, the word investment or investing always comes up. And I kind of noticed that you didn't actually use that word at all in this teaching. Is there a specific reason or was it just kind of never really came up?
Well, that's a good question. I think that depending on how you use the term, it's going to come across differently. For instance, there's a phrase that says it takes money to make money. And the idea is investing. So I put my money in a stock or whatever it is to invest in that. And if the stock goes up, I in turn make money. And I can take out all of my money or, you know, spend it and diversify it, what have you. Well, when he says, hey, why don't you invest in the things that are above, rather where moth and rust can destroy, I think the investment is to say, to spend that money here. Because you're not taking anything with you. You know, I think that's why the rich young ruler, when he says, good teacher, what shall I do? I've kept all of these things when asked, have you kept the law? I said, yeah, I've kept all the commandments you just mentioned. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He left off the first 4. He says, okay, why don't you just sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and then follow me? Because there's one thing that he lacked, is what he was said. And so I think the entire thing is an investment, whether we invest here for heaven or not. And I think that's why we spend our money and we're spent, because then we're welcomed into eternal dwellings. So if I were going to use that term, that's how I would use it.
Okay. Can I make a comment?
Sure.
I'm a Gideon, and the Gideons are known for handing out Bibles. And one of the things that
that we've noticed is that Gideons have to basically get with the times. You know, we hand out, we're known for handing out Bibles, but I think that, you know, we've come to realize that people with phones, with iPhones, especially the younger generation, they like apps. And so Gideons have come out with an app that's a very good app. I know a lot of people use the YouVersion app. Mm-hmm. Life Church, you know, has developed. But anyway, I recommend those two apps, Gideon app for ministry and the YouVersion app.
So is the Gideon app just a Bible, or is it...
It's a Bible, and it's in like 1,000 languages. It has, you know, Gideon Bibles, if you've seen one, has helps, you know, in it. That,
yeah,
you know,
subjects.
Hotel, and you pull out a Gideon Bible. You know, if you're depressed, or if you're lonely, or whatever your situation is, well, you'll find that in the app, too.
Okay.
So... it's free. It's a free app that you can download and get stuff.
The YouTube version?
Well, two different apps. YouTube, YouVersion Bible app is a really good Bible app. And then the Gideon's, is Gideon's International.
Called Gideon Bible app. That's got the best thing on there. It says get instead of a dollar or whatever. So you guys are giving that away for free, it looks like. Yeah, I love sharing resources and sharing those things that we can get out. I'm going to take a look at that.
So speaking of apps, there's also another one called Share Your Faith, and it's simply the bridge illustration.
Oh.
So you can walk somebody through that. You
know, Share Your Faith.
If you can't draw it out yourself, you've
what's
got
it. What's it called?
It's called Share Your Faith.
Share Your Faith.
Yeah.
Also, just get. Yeah. That's right. And for some reason, this is a good cellular spot, so this is a good spot to download them. I've already got them both downloading now.
Cool.
Jason, you mentioned all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful.
Yeah.
Is that 1 Corinthians 10, 23, 24?
That?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's 1 Corinthians, yeah.
1 Corinthians 10, 23, and 24. Yes. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful.
Yeah.
All things are permissible.
Is that NIV?
There's a lot of different versions. Positive and comfortable.
Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor.
Right.
You kind of touched on that, and I think, did you have some other thoughts on that about investing, as you mentioned?
Yeah, well, so in that regard, when I was mentioning that all things are permissible and not beneficial, or all things are lawful and not helpful, the idea is, first off, it can definitely be a trickier verse. I've used it in a couple of different aspects. One of them is really to fight off legalism. You know, there's a chance that, you know, we mentioned a few of the places that we would find Jesus, and we don't necessarily go there, go into bars and stuff, because it can hurt our witness, or it can hurt maybe the cause for Christ. But we also know that Jesus was this person of ill repute as far as the religious leaders, what they thought of him. And so in that aspect, I would say, listen, it is permissible, you know, and I know that there are church covenants out there and stuff that say, hey, we're not allowed maybe to drink at all. I've got an option at my church right now specifically asking about using, let's say, wine in communion instead of grape juice. And they said, well, there's no reason we couldn't necessarily do that. And they said, well, what's your reasoning behind it? You know, I said, well, all things are permissible. I know that that's what Jesus served. I'm just curious as to why we use grape juice. So they didn't really have a retort, and they said, well, we'll postpone that till January. That was last month. And it got brought up again, and I said, I'm not leaving if we don't serve wine. I'm just curious. I signed up for the communion prep. Can I put wine in here? I thought maybe I'd ask first, because I don't think I ever remember drinking that. They're like, well, he said, well, okay, I think it's because I think Jesus drank grape juice. I said, oh. Well, okay. I could see then why maybe you would have that issue. I think that the things that are permissible, it's going to depend on where we are with Christ. There's certain things that I would not do, and then 5 years later I can say, you know, I'm okay with that. And nothing's changed except for my relationship with Christ. So the only thing I would add to all things are permissible but not beneficial is the question 3 on the little growth group thing. I said, Is your conscience violated? Because if it is, then don't do it. If it's not violated, then go ahead.
But that's all right. As we mature in Christ, I think that it's important to recognize the value, importance, and priority of structuring your behavior as it might influence those around you. So you can go to the movies that you want to go to, but is it really edifying your life, the life of your spouse? Is it edifying your walk in choosing R-rated movies? Would it be a good thing to... Alright, so there's a lot of things that are permissible, but the question you have to ask yourself is, how am I facilitating revealing the glory of God? Is it self-indulgence that hurts others? Or is it self-indulgence that hurts me? Or is it just enjoying God's gift?
Right, but it would be all things.
It applies to all things.
Right, because you said that there are some things that are permissible, but it is all of the everything. And that's tough with, you know, because there are things that we know are not beneficial, even though he would say that's permissible. And, you know, like for instance, when
I think murder is permissible. There are definite parameters. Murder's not really on his list.
Yeah, I guess if he exclusively bans it, then yes. But I mean, in regards to
small things,
Christian liberty, what we would say that we're not bound by, you know, anything. But yeah, it can definitely be a sticky subject, just because you can take it to the extremes, and I think part of our flesh would say, oh, finally I can, you know, and it says no, you know, we don't continue sinning because grace is going to increase, you know, by no means we don't do that.
But ministry in the fast lane, which is where we are.
Okay, ministry in the fast lane.
That's what this is about. Ministering as you go.
Yeah.
I think it has a lot to do with trimming your life so that even your daily motions are revealing the glory. And that means you self-select a very narrow behavior in your life.
Yeah, I think that's...
Hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
And soft on others. And that is what Christian maturity is. And so others may, but you cannot. That's what God says to me.
Yeah, so
everybody can drive 75 in a 75 zone. But you really shouldn't. Now that's a silly example, because I know 72. But I think the point is that as we mature in Christ, we streamline our behavior so that it honors Him. It doesn't really give us a buzz. It really is about submitting to His authority. So, all things are lawful, but, you know, but not all things are profitable. Not all right. Things edify. So, when you're playing the video game that practices killing, I think that's a beautiful example. It really doesn't hurt anybody, but does it not really hurt anybody?
Right.
We have to open up to letting God mold and make. And you know, that's a very vertical issue.
It is. It certainly is.
Totally horizontal implications.
Yeah.
And it's between you and your quiet time and your vertical relationship. And God is hard on us. And the harder He is on us, the more He'll use us. When He takes a glass from the cabinet, it's got to be clean or He won't use it. And so for me, my quiet time is a time of schooling. And I love your illustration of bringing that to life. It's all about us shaping our lives under His authority and grace so that we can be of use. Yeah. Why else live?
Absolutely.
Why else be here?
Right. I mean, I guess it's to get bigger houses and more stuff, right? I mean, that seems to be the design of the world. You know, it is.
That's our culture.
But yeah, if we think outside of ourselves enough, I think that that we're going to live for His kingdom for sure.
And we'll be much more efficient.
I like that you said hard on ourselves, easy on others, as opposed to hard on ourselves and others, holding them up to that same standard. Because you're right, Christian maturity is going to be, you know, wherever you are. Everybody's at a different level of walk, if you will. And there are certain things that most certainly I've thought were wrong at one time, and now I'm okay with them, only because the relationship's changed. And the vice versa is also true, where I've like, I thought this was okay, and like, oh, it's not. You know, I mean, they flip. And it's not, again, it's not because the Bible changes. It's not because his word changes. It's because I have changed and I've moved into those positions. So
right.
I really like that.
Yeah. Kind of to back up that statement, hard on ourselves, easy on others. Whenever the children of Israel dedicated the tent, the tabernacle tent, they had 12 days of celebration. Each one was the same sacrifices. And it really stood out to me that they sacrificed, I think, a lamb as a sin offering. And then they had two ox, five goats, five rams, and five lambs as a fellowship offering.
It
seems to me that God doesn't put as much importance on our sin as he does in our fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an interesting last night talking about the judiciary and the parenting relationship that's there. And a similar thing, my kid, you know, I'm gonna discipline them, and I'm gonna love them, you know, unconditionally, and know what that's like. But yeah, the relationship's far more important than whether they did right or did wrong on anything. And a lot of times, I think you're right. We can get the emphasis off for sure, you know. Or I think the church itself has gotten into the habit of looking at people's sin and trying to correct that instead of trying to focus on the heart, which self corrects. You know, the closer someone gets with God, it auto-corrects. You don't have to worry about their habits or their things. Because even a person playing a video game, God can speak to them immediately. You know, I didn't have to have anybody come into my life and say, hey, by the way, you ought to kick that. You know, I'm like, why? But God can speak directly to me. I'm driving and somebody cuts me off. I'm like, wow, you got to be kidding me. And then I hear God say, that's right, you're so important. I can't believe they did that. And I go... I go, touche. Like I said, he's sarcastic with me because I'm sarcastic, but he gets me on those, right? You know, or when I say things like I did at the beginning, when I said, man, there's just not enough time. It's like, really? I created the entire universe. It's not good enough for you? You don't like the 24-hour day? What would you have done? I go, right, why did I say that? So, yeah, you're right. I think we focus on that fellowship with him, that relationship, and yeah, like you said, the vertical happens and then the horizontal effects, you know, they go out from there. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. I know that you're taking time out.